بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الحج عرفة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, my brothers in Islam and those who are listening, first of all, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah jalla majdahu for blessing us with Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us Muslims from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shariat of Islam is very simple, easy. We have been discussing about Hajj, alhamdulillah. And as I have been explaining, most of the time the Haji goes and the Haji comes, he does not even know why he went. He does not even know his status, his value, significance. Remember, Hajj literally means to intend for a journey. In Shariat, it means to go and perform in a specific time, specific ibadat. Hajj is an ibadat which has got to do with badani and mali, meaning body and wealth. A person spends his wealth and he sacrifices his physique, his strength in performing Hajj. For example, zakah is only mali, that means he's spending his wealth. Sadqatul Fitr, only the wealth. Qurbani, wealth. Respected elders, but Hajj has got these both aspects. And the purpose of Hajj is to make ta'zim of the Baytullah, to honor the Baytullah, to show respect to the Baytullah. Because we hold the Baytullah in dignity. So the purpose of going to Baytullah is to show respect. There are some ignorant people, we overheard them to Bataf area while they're standing. Unfortunately, due to sheer utter ignorance, they think that Allah Jalla Majdahu Ma'azallah stays there. Then you get another deviant group, they think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sits on the throne. These are all deviant groups. Some purposely, intentionally, some out of sheer utter ignorance. Respected elders, last week we discussed various philosophical wisdoms concerning certain rituals of Hajj. Continuing, a person goes to Arafah. When you go to Arafah, then the reason is very simple. First of all, in the days of ignorance, they should have Hajj. But that Hajj was completely different. And beauty of Shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he modified it so that we get now reward upon reward of doing the actions. And all actions pertaining to suspicion, superstition, idol worship, shirk have been taken out. Prior to him coming, you know, they were running around the Kaaba without any clothing. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed that. Prior to him coming, the kuffar and mushrik were going and making hajj. And on the first hajj, whose Amir was Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hadrat Ali came with a proclamation that after this year, no kafir, no mushrik will be allowed. Those days they should put the ihram on. And they should put the ihram on in honor of some idol. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and changed. He said, no, put the ihram on for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then once they adorned the ihram and they were staying in Makkatul Mukarramah, then these idol worshippers and Quraysh, they should enter their homes from the back. Once they had ihram on, they should not enter their homes from the front now. Front door, they should go in the back and jump the wall and come. They should say, no, now we are in ihram. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he changed that. And when they were calling labbaik, in their labbaik, they were saying labbaik to their gods, goddesses and idols. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and said, la sharika la. No sharik, no partners, no ascribing to Allah Jalla Majdahu. When they reached Mina, and when those who went to Arafat came back to Mina, Mina was a bazaar. Ukas and etc. All these bazaars were there. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed that. Turned it into a place of askar, zikr and remembering Allah Jalla Majdahu. Then some of them, the so-called elite, they said, no, we will just go till Muzdalifah, we won't go to Arafat. And they said, according to one narration, we are the pigeons of the haram. Another narration, no, we are the custodians of the haram. We will not go to Arafat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, everybody is going to Arafat. Everybody. So, you can see the whole Hajj, how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam modified, changed it, and a process of renaissance took place. Now it is pure, pristine, clean, wholesome to remember Allah Jalla Majdahu. And in Arafat, why the Hajj goes? He goes there for two reasons, basically. One is that to enjoy via dua the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the wukuf in Arafat is so important. That is why it is stated that when you go to Arafat, come out of your tent, stand and cry and weep to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And du'as get accepted there. So the haji goes there and we say, if you cannot stand outside, stand in the tent. If you cannot stand in the tent, sit out in the tent. If you cannot sit out in the tent, lie down, but make dua. Okay, on the lighter side, lot like one person, he went to Arafat and he was sleepy all the time. They asked him, why are you not making dua? He said, no, I made dua. Dua is finished. He said, no, we never see you make dua. He said, no, I finished making dua. So what happened? What kind of dua you made? He said, no, I just stood up a little bit and made dua. So what dua you made? He said, I made dua, Ya Allah, my Imam Sahib, Laylatul Qadr night, he made 1 hour dua. Same dua I'm making here. He slept away after that. Don't do that. Go and do your own dua. And ask for everything. The second thing, respected elders, that this is such a great day in Arafat that shaitan, according to the hadith, gets humiliated and gets disgraced and so depressed, and he is so humiliated that he runs from Arafat screaming and shouting in humiliation and in disgrace. Why? That is when he sees thousands upon thousands, Allah Jalla Majdahu, he is forgiving them and forgiving them. And Shaitan's purpose is that we don't get forgiven. And on the day of Arafat, when Shaitan sees this activity, it is stated clearly in the hadith, he gets humiliated, and there is no other day that he is so humiliated. Respected elders, however, that there is one other day, according to the hadith, that Shaitan was humiliated. It is history. According to the hadith in Mishkat, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that on the day of Badr, the battle of Badr, that day Shaitan was so humiliated that he was never humiliated like that before. So a question can arise that Shaitan gets humiliated on the day of Arafat, that which other day he was humiliated, so humiliated? The day of Badr. And historically, when we look, the day of Badr, the battle of Badr, that's a turning point in the history of Islam. That was the time that, alhamdulillah, Allah Jalla Majdahu gave victory to the Muslims, gave victory to the Sahaba, and gave victory to Islam. And alhamdulillah, after that, people started getting stability, strength, and solidifying. Similarly, like we have got Zamzam. The best water on the surface of the earth is Zamzam. But again, trap question, there was one water that is better than Zamzam, but that water is no more in existence. That water is no more in existence, which is better than Zamzam. So, Sahib Azbaya wa Nazai writes that that water was when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on an expedition, and water ran out. And when water ran out, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called for a container. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hands in that container. When he put his hands in that container, then water began to shoot out from his fingers. That water, because it comes from the Mubarak body, the blessed fingers of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directly from him, that water is better than Zamzam. But that water is not in existence anymore. So, respected elders, the day of Arafah, the day to recognize, the day to recognize our Creator, the day to recognize ourselves, the day to recognize that we are helpless, hopeless, the day of forgiveness, the day when dua is accepted, the day of peace and tranquility, and those who have been there will know that that is certainly the day where you can feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, sometimes we go and do the wrong things there. Like, people say, you must take my name, write it, put piece of paper, put it under one rock there. That is not proven. Some people say, write it, make one small taweez, and hang it on one tree. Then it'll, the wind will blow and I will go to Arafat. No, no, it's not so easy. The respected elder. So from Arafat, alhamdulillah, we leave. And why leave after Maghrib? Remember, when you're in Arafat, that you can never leave before Maghrib. Maghrib, the cannon will be sounded, the siren will be sounded. Then the first person to leave Arafat generally is the Amir of Hajj. And after that, the 2.5, 3 million people leave. Why after Maghrib? Because of the heat. Deen is easy, deen is simple. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with an easy deen for us. And when the sun has set, then generally it is going to cool off. When it is cool, then alhamdulillah you can move from Arafat to Muzdalifah to spend the night in Muzdalifah. So the reason has been stipulated in Hujjatullah al-Baligha that after Maghrib, why? Because after sunset, because Maghrib and Isha you're going to make in Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah, respected elders. Muzdalifah actually, the night is spent there. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Arafah, he spent the dua near the Jabal al-Rahmat. On the foothills of Jabal al-Rahmat, the Mount of Mercy, when you go with a reliable guide, they show you where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for 4 hours, some say 6 hours. Another point, that practically every home you'll find frame last sermon of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during farewell pilgrimage, and the whole sermon is written. You get the impression that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in Arafah and he gave one sermon, and the people by memory etc. recorded it, and now we have printed it. That is not the case. This last sermon that you see, and we have done this work, the Shaykh al-Hadith of Azazbal, Hazrat Maulana Fazul Rahman Azami, Damat Barakatuh, we have translated one of his books. It's called The Last Sermon of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Go to the website, alislam.co.za is there. That every part of the sermon has been taken, and the Arabic of the sermon is there too. And we have stated, he has stated where it is, where in Hajj he said it, in which part of the journey of Hajj he said it. Yes, he did give a speech in Arafah, and the speech he gave is today where Masjid al-Namira is. Those of you who have been to Masjid al-Namira, some say it's Namira, some say Nimra, whatever it is, you'll see that masjid where the Imam stands, that is Wadi Arna. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated clearly in the hadith, the wukuf of Arafat is in Arafah, not in Wadi Arna. He uses the word Wadi Arna in the hadith, and he says not in Wadi Arna, in Arafah. But why the Imam stands there? Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there and gave that speech. Then in Muzdalifah, Masjid Mahshar al-Haram, very difficult to get near there, but you can see it when you go passing Muzdalifah. There why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to that area, that's why they put the masjid there. And in Mina, Masjid al-Khayf. Why Masjid al-Khayf? Because that's where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also according to scholars, 70 other Anbiya alayhi salam passed by there or tarried there. And as far as Arafat is concerned, it is stated that every Nabi of Allah Jalla Majdahu went to Arafat. So those are places of remembrance. Historically, these are places of remembrance. And in Hajj, you will find this. There is a place and there is an action. And this is because of two reasons, basically. One, historical significance. And two, Allah Jalla Majdahu wants to take out the wrong which was prevalent and replacing it with remembrance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Muzdalifah also, what should happen, that people should gather there in the night and party according to the days of ignorance, party and festivity. Allah's Nabi changed it completely. Then respected elders, person comes and he makes Dhamm-e-Shukr, and then Halaq. I've explained to you why Dhamm-e-Shukr, and why for Tamattu and Qareen and Ifrad, why difference. I explained last week. Continuing, that to take off the hair, Halaq. Why Halaq? And to come out of Ihram by that action. If we were left alone, that you want to come out of Ihram, come out how you want to. Can you imagine? There'll be 3 million people, and there'll be hundreds of different methods of people coming out of Ihram. That is why in Salah, if it was left to the Musalli, that you come out of Salah how you want to, can you imagine what he'll do, how to come out of Salah? So Allah has given us a method, that when you come out of Salah, say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So there is a pattern, there is a system, and there is a civilized system, there is a decent system. Similarly, when coming out of Ihram to take out the hair, this is a civilized, dignified manner, a honorable manner to come out of Ihram. How simple, how easy, and plus a dignified manner. Can you imagine if it was left to the Haji, come out of Ihram how you want to come out of Ihram? They'll do 102 things to come out of Ihram. Would not be standardized, would not be civil, not civilized. Allah has given us a civilized manner. then respected elders to come to Makkatul Mukarrama and start the Tawaf-e-Ziyara. Tawaf-e-Ziyara, respected elders, they start at Hajar-e-Aswad. Question arises, why start at Hajar-e-Aswad? First of all, when we look at the Kaaba, the corner of the Hajar-e-Aswad, because of the presence of Hajar-e-Aswad, that is the most valuable corner. Why? Because hadith is clear that the Hajar-e-Aswad is that stone that has come from heaven. So what is the better place than to stand from the Hajar-e-Aswad, the stone that has come from heaven? When it came, it was whiter than milk. The sins of the mankind have made it black. So that is the place to start, because the stone is from heaven. And that is the place to end. And that is why we have to make istilam. Respected elders, then when we look how we start from the Hajar-e-Aswad, when you're facing the Hajar-e-Aswad, that's how you start the tawaf, and then you proceed on the right. Because when you're facing the Hajar-e-Aswad, you don't go on the left, you go on the right. And that right will make it anti-clockwise. Because the right has got preference over the left in everything that we do in Sharia. Then, respected elders, it is stated that why must we make tawaf-e wida and go away? Respected elders, when we come to the masjid, we're supposed to be making two rakat tayyatul masjid, greeting of the masjid, and for entry in the masjid. But when we go to the haram, then we do not make these two rakats. What do we make? We make tawaf. Either we make tawaf-e kudum or we make the tawaf of umrah. And this tawaf, that is the equivalent of the two rakat tayyatul masjid. And when we leaving the place, when we leaving Makkatul Mukarrama, then we make tawaf wida, that is the farewell tawaf. Just like a person, when he's leaving the king's court, and when he's leaving a dignitary, and when he's leaving an important personality, then what does he do? The last thing he does in that locality, he'll go to that dignitary, he'll go to that great personality, he'll go to the king's court, and then he will greet and then leave. Respected elders, simple example, if you go to an area where your father is staying, and your brother, and your sister, when your journey ends, who you'll see last? You'll go to your sister, your brother, but last you'll greet your father, your mother, because in your eyes, these are the most dignified personalities. So you'll greet them, and then you will go away. But these days, unfortunately, everybody wants to quarrel. Brother wants to fight with brother, sister with sister, father with son, daughter with mother, everything is happening. Respected elders, so that is why the wida, and that is why the last greeting in the form of tawaf. Now, respected elders, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shariat is teaching us that when we make tawaf and we are in the state of ihram, then for the three rounds of tawaf, we make ramal. First of all, we make istiba. We take the cloth, bring it under the right armpit, and sling it on the left. That's why we do that, to facilitate the movement, to make it easy that we can move. And the three rounds we move fast. It's called ramal. Why? Respected elders, 8th of Hijri, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to perform Umrah. And there was a notion amongst the kuffar that Muslims, they got high fever in Medina. They are weak and they are feeble because of fever. And they are sick. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know of this. When he came to know of this, he told the Sahaba, make istiba, make ramal three rounds. Now, respected elders, the kuffar and mushrikeen, where they were seated is the Hatib side, where they had Darul Nadwa, a place called Darul Nadwa, that is where their parliament house, the kuffar and mushrikeen parliament house. If, for example, you got Hajar-e-Aswad, the next corner Rukn Iraqi, next corner Rukn Sham, next corner Rukn Yamani. Now you got Rukn Hajar-e-Aswad,
Rukla Iraqi, if you draw a line like how you draw for Hajar Aswad, that area there, that's where the Kufar were sitting. So what they could see? They could see Hajar Aswad, Rukla Iraqi, Rukla Iraqi, Rukla Sham. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, see, make Ramal. And in this area, yeah, you go fast. As soon as you turn the corner of Rukla Sham, then relax. Because these Kufar can't see you anymore. Get your strength again. Because truly they had fever. Meanwhile, the Kufar, when they saw Sahaba jumping and they were moving like soldiers and they were moving with odd strength, they began to get worried because they wanted to actually attack them. But when they saw Sahaba moving like this, they said, "Now we won't do it." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his khilafat, he said, "No, that was the reason, so we should stop it now. We should stop the Ramal." But remember, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is one of the fuqaha of Islam, juru consultants. What he said, no. After thought, he said, no, we still have to do it. Because there may be some other illah, some other cause. And also, 2 years later, after 8th of Hijri, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came for farewell Hajj. When he came for farewell Hajj, now there was no fear of kuffar and mushriks. Ramal was still made. Ramal was still made. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, we will also carry on with Ramal. Allah Ta'ala grant us ability. Now when the Haji comes, what's our responsibility? That ask him to make dua for us. Go drink his zamzam and eat his khajur. And also ask him about his journey. But most important, his dua is accepted. 40 days on his arrival, from his arrival. And emphasize on him. He's an important person. He's an important person. Emphasize on him that his dua is accepted. Teach him. And also, whilst you are there, tell him make dua. Generally say, inshallah, I'll make dua. Where is Ru? Remember, tell him to make dua. And tell him what you want. And make him feel important that he is a haji. He must become regular in salat. His duas are accepted. And elevate him. He has deen for hajj. May Allah Ta'ala grant his ability to practice this deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.